KCO, 1230 AM, W255DN, Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Senator Chris Van Hollen is just back from El Salvador after meeting with Kilmar Obrego Garcia, who was mistakenly deported there.
It's good to be home. Now we need to end the illegal abduction of Kilmar Obrego Garcia and bring him home, too.
President Trump said today people are dying as the two sides in the Russia-Ukraine war play games. CBS's Natalie Brand.
He said no one's playing him, that he's trying to help. But he reiterated this earlier message by the Secretary of State that they do want to see some movement very soon.
The suspected shooter at Florida State University remains in a hospital, but when the alleged gunman is well enough,
he'll be taken to a local detention facility where he will face the charges up to and including first-degree murder.
Authorities say they found no connection between the suspect and the victims. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlau. The Trump administration's 2026 budget passback plan that's currently under consideration eliminates NOAA's Oceanic and Atmospheric Research Office and its 10 research laboratories and 16 affiliated cooperative institutes. If the plan is enacted, it would close all of NOAA's weather, climate, and ocean laboratories and cooperative institutes. And without that research, the National Weather Service weather models and products will stagnate. Observational data collection will be reduced, public outreach will decrease, and undergraduate and graduate student support will drop. Also, NOAA funding for universities will plummet. The scientific backbone and workforce needed to keep weather forecasts, alerts, and warnings accurate and effective will be drastically reduced. This could lead to unknown and disastrous consequences for public safety and economic health. If you believe it's important for NOAA research and improving National Weather Service forecasts, the time to act is now. Reach out to your elected representatives and share your concerns. Consider installing the 5 Calls app on your phone to help you. And the NFL draft is just 6 days away. The excitement is mounting, and Lisa Hale tells us what to expect.
It started 10 years ago when the Green Bay Packers first told the NFL they wanted to host the draft event at Lambeau Field. Now it's just days away.
They raised the roof on the draft theater last week, and everything's starting to fill in. It's really amazing. The energy and electricity is exciting.
That's Aaron Popke, Director of Public Affairs for the Green Bay Packers.
It's just exciting to have it be here. We unveiled a countdown clock last May, and it was 345 days out. I remember looking at the countdown clock and like, holy smokes, we got some time. It's on top of us.
The draft takes place Thursday, April 24th through Saturday, April 26th.
Is it Dane time? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks face the Pacers in the playoffs tomorrow at noon. Damian Lillard able to practice after dealing with deep vein thrombosis the past month. The story on ESPN.
I'm told he is still out game one. He's going to use the next several days to ramp up. But this is really a remarkable recovery for Damian Lillard, a guy a lot of people thought maybe would not even have came back.
Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
It's not like he's been injured and working out. You know, he's been injured without working out. That's hard.
Baseball tonight, the Brewers host the A's. In Green Bay, the NFL draft is next week. Will Jair Alexander be back with the Pack? Jordan Love.
That's a great question. Talk to Ja, see what the deal is. But, Ja, he's got his own world going on. I'm going to let him handle his business and see what's going on. But that's my guy right there. He's definitely a player we need back. Just the play style he plays with and who he is on the field. I mean, that's a guy we need.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, maybe a shower tonight, a low in the upper 30s. Mostly sunny and a high in the mid-50s for Saturday. Increasing clouds Sunday, showers developing, high temperatures in the mid-50s. Showers continue Sunday night and linger on into Monday morning. Currently 57 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight. Your timing, Goodfellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad-lib to De Niro. He's like, security, and you're saying, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And Paul Hip, he said, make sure you don't call it ad-libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, Laura Bird is back. The author and tireless bookstore promoter helps mark Independent Bookstore Day with ways you can support a local business.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. You can play a big...
Thanks for tuning in to this special encore presentation of the Dom Salvia Show. Civic Media has some lineup changes coming. Stay tuned to your local Civic Media radio station to hear more about that. But in the meantime, we're listening to some highlights of Dom's show. In the episode we're sharing today, Dom was joined by Maggie Dawn of The Maggie Dawn Show and his producer, Jess P.S., to talk about the school voucher system, a parallel system with our public schools, and how, much like our government, religion should be kept out of schools. Enjoy.
Welcome back, Maggie.
Hey, Dom. Good to be with you guys.
Thank you. You know, I always got like ideas of what I want to talk about when we start the show. And then sometimes this just gets thrown out the window because I heard you today as I was
driving. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, of course. Love to hear you. And especially today's topic that I heard, the part was school vouchers.
Yes.
And the lack of accountability, the lack of transparency. I think maybe the school vouchers are ready for some Doge, Maggie Dawn.
Yeah, let's doge the old vouchers.
Let's doge the vouchers. And I heard some conservative callers really not answering the question. And I that makes me wonder, why is that? Why is it so difficult for folks, do you think, Maggie Dawn, to specifically come right out and say, yes, I want, you know, Christian religion taught in schools, but I don't know if I want the Muslim or Islam or the, you know, Hindu or whatever else religion you may choose. That for some reason, it's very difficult for them to address that.
I think it's because it gets uncomfortable, right? It's uncomfortable because, no, I don't want my tax dollars going to support Islamic education, right? Like, that's what they don't want to say. And they don't want to say that, but they still want the tax dollars to support predominantly white Christian nationalist education, right, or if they're terming it choice. Like, all of these things, like DEI is the modern N-word.
Right.
Right? Like, you're a DEI hire. You might as well be addressing a person of color and being like, know your place. And it ain't in the boardroom. Know your place. It's not in my law firm. It is modern day whitewashed code language for basically some of the most insidious and anti-American ideas that you can imagine. That is that one group of people is worth less than another group of people, and we're going to keep it that way. And that one religion it should be preferenced in this country over other religions. Though, again, I thought we fought a war about that, but yeah. Okay, not, I guess. So it's very selective ideas of rights, right? Like, that's what this is.
Exactly,
it's like
exactly.
All freedom of religion, except when it comes to your body and the fact that you're pregnant, then no freedom of religion. Freedom of religion only when I want to have my religion preferenced over your religion. That's not freedom, right? Like, that's why, you know, it reads, shall establish no religion, right? Like, this is the point. it's pretty insidious. It's pretty consistent. And I think it needs to be called out. This isn't about choice. This isn't about having a reasoned discussion about outcomes in public schools. If conservatives were really serious about that, right?
About changing the outcomes, bettering the outcomes in public schools.
Then what they would be advocating for is not vouchers and choice. All that money that goes to vouchers and choice, they'd be saying, take those dollars and let's give teachers raises. You want to see people lined up around a block to be a public school teacher in the most difficult districts in the country?
Pay them. Right.
What? It's like capitalism, except here. And the ironic thing, of course, is that they call it choice. Oh, the parent needs choice. We should let the free market control. No, we shouldn't. It's public education, A. B, okay, then why aren't you paying teachers more?
Right.
Again, it's the philosophy, the ideology, the belief only works up to where they decide it doesn't arbitrarily because it's no longer privileging them or their perceived group. The terrible reality is that this is all a long con, right? Middle-class people, our kids all go to public schools. 90% of American children go to public schools. You need public schools. So what are you talking about? Why wouldn't you want teachers to make more money? It is a long con to create false division amongst people that have incredibly aligned interests. And that is working people in the United States.
Mm.
Fight with each other instead of worrying about the billionaire overlord who apparently is now attending cabinet meetings.
Yes,
Tom.
Yes, that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, good thing he doesn't have a corporation to run or a department.
A couple of corporations to run. Right. One apparently not doing so well. Yes. Sales are down at Tesla.
Sales are down. We'll get to that. It's overtime with Maggie Dawn here on the Dom Salvia Show. The choice is there. The choice is, as it was when I was growing up prior to school choice, when my parents made the choice to pull me out of Hortonville Public Schools and put me into private Appleton Xavier School. They made that choice, and they made that choice to go to pocket. And they made that choice, and they scratched that check, and they paid tuition. They didn't get a tax break for it. They didn't get reimbursement for it. They didn't get a voucher for it. They made that decision. That's their choice. And if you don't want that choice, what choice do we have as taxpayers to not, and I didn't mind the education. I was excused from religion. That's fine. I was a fine, good enough school.
Not true in all schools.
Not true in all schools. My experience was fine. But again, what about the choice of us taxpayers not having our dollars going towards, and I'll say it because I don't believe any of it, the indoctrination, regardless of what the religion is, what I would call indoctrination. And it's one thing to talk about the outcomes. If you're going to have a religious school, regardless of the religion, and they're doing so great and the outcomes are awesome, excellent. Can we do the same thing without teaching the religion class?
Yes.
Then do that.
Right.
That's fine. I have never been
comfortable with first the Wisconsin State Supreme Court and then later, this was in the early 90s, it was first, we were literally the petri dish of all of this in MPS.
A lot of that going on here.
Eventually, the U.S. Supreme Court saying public tax dollars can go to support a religiously based education. Since when? Since they waved a magic wand? Yep. I mean, that was what it was.
Yep.
This is in alignment to, in my mind, with money is speech and presidents are kings.
Right.
Right. That is so simply unfathomable to the average American that if we took all of the partisan wrangling out of that and would have asked people 25 years ago, do you think your public tax dollars, your tax dollars, your hard-earned money should go to fund Islamic-based education here in the United States? Guess what the answer would be?
Right.
No.
Right.
This is why the government shall not establish any religion. And it's over and over again. Here's a quote from one of the people that I tend to read a lot who is a professor who studies this. Republicans are like arsonists who deliberately burn down your local public school and then have the shameless audacity to turn around and say to you, wow, your school's really terrible. Here, let me sell you on my equally crappy school instead.
Right. With less oversight, with less input.
No oversight.
You know,
profit making.
To your point, to make money. They are doing this to make money. So the more money they get in, the more students they take in, as long as they keep them long enough to cash that voucher, well, they can just get rid of them. Then what happens to the kids? They come in, right? And there is a window, and I don't know what the window is, but they got to keep the kids for so long in order to get the full benefit
the money,
of
yes.
the money. And after that point, the kid, they don't like it. Maybe it's a problem child, and they kick them out. Where do they go?
Back to the public schools.
Back to public schools.
They can elect not to take a kid because they have disabilities. They're not required to take children with disabilities. So they can discriminate. They can decide not to take a kid because the kid has two dads or two moms or a single mother. They can discriminate. They're discriminating still on an income basis because oftentimes the vouchers don't cover the whole cost of the education. So it's just, until I see some systemized, legitimate study that shows me that voucher and choice schools are producing way better, not the one-offs,
right,
on a consistent basis,
statistically proven,
significant,
yeah,
low R-squared, then I'd be like, what are you talking about? It's this, again, you call it choice because you can't use the word segregated. You can't say that. You can't say I want religiously funded segregated schools so that my white child doesn't have to go to school with gay and black and brown and maybe the child of a migrant.
Well, if you say it like that, it sounds really racist, misogynist, and all those things. Folks, this is Maggie Dawn. It's a little overtime with Maggie Dawn. And on top of that, this is, again, it's not only just the lack of improvement or the lack of differing outcomes to any statistical difference. It's the subsidizing of religion, and specifically of religious organizations like churches whose attendance are down, the tithing is down, and now they're tapping into the vein of the public, of the socialist public schools, to keep them up. They already don't pay property taxes, Maggie, and now they're going to get funding and a mandate. We fund in this state two school systems?
Yes. Tom from L.A. made that point. I've always said, hey, you want to know the single most impactful public policy change you could make that within one election cycle would yield amazing results? Tax religions and use that money to pay teachers. Hear me? Write it down. Tax religions and use the money to pay public school teachers. The more difficult the district, the more challenging that particular student body is, the more trauma, the more hunger needs, the more uncertain housing insecurity,
right,
the more you get paid. Because what we have done, conservatives will in one breath say, why are we asking police to be social workers, marriage therapists, child psychologists? Da, 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 da. I back the blue. Well, then back the teachers, because they're asked to do all of that. Social workers, marriage therapists, wraparound social services, food intervention. Every public school teacher I know has walked into their classroom with bags of food at some point in time because they've had students that they know are hungry in their classrooms. So yeah, universal school lunch. Let's start with that before universal vouchers. Let's feed our kids and give them health care before you talk to me again about defunding public education so that well-to-do white families can send their kids to religious schools on the backs of those same working families' tax dollars. Shame.
Sending their kids to the same schools they were going to before, but now taking a little off the top, put it in their pockets so they can, go on vacation or whatever the case may be. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvi Show. It is overtime with Maggie Dunn. Talk a little school choice, question mark.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
This 420, get your vibe right at Green Thumb Alternatives. Locally owned and grown right here in Wisconsin, they're dropping free samples, pet edibles, and hot deals on flowers, pipes, and all your favorite goodies. Snacks, smells, and a super chill staff who actually know their stuff? Yeah.
It's that kind of vibe. They've got locally grown goodness, bath bombs, even stuff for your dog to chill out, too. Call 715-544-1011 or hit greenthumbalt.com. Green Thumb Alternatives, where the grass is always greener.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. While corrosive democracy news from Washington continued this week, state news ranged from good in Delaware and Mississippi, mixed in North Carolina and Pennsylvania, to downright ugly in New Hampshire. Voting Rights Lab reports the Delaware Senate advanced SB 2 and SB 3, constitutional amendments allowing 10 days of early voting and no-excuse absentee voting. Legislative versions of both bills passed last year, but the Delaware Supreme Court found that the state constitution didn't enable them. The General Assembly must pass them again next year for them to be adopted. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals ordered Mississippi to redraw state Senate districts for DeSoto County, which it found violated the 1965 Voting Rights Act by diluting a majority black section of the county, according to Mississippi Today. State officials in North Carolina found fewer issues among the 5,000 military and overseas voters than the Supreme Court candidate Jefferson Griffin claimed, but the highly questionable post-election review of voter eligibility continues. Pennsylvania Attorney General Dave Sunday appealed a federal court ruling directing county officials to count otherwise eligible mail-in ballots without a date. The New Hampshire Senate advanced SB 213, which would require voters applying by mail for an absentee ballot to enclose a copy of their birth certificate, U.S. passport, or naturalization papers, almost certainly disenfranchising otherwise eligible voters. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Thanks for sticking with us for this encore presentation of the Dom Salvia Show. Here, we're highlighting more of Dom's discussion with Maggie Dawn and Jess P.S. about the school voucher system and keeping religion out of schools, much like we do with our government. This is a pre-recorded feature of an old episode, but don't worry, Civic Media has some new live content coming again in this time slot in the coming weeks. Stay tuned to your local Civic Media radio station to hear more. In the meantime, enjoy this.
A little overtime with Maggie Dawn. The topic: using our public tax dollars to subsidize religious grooming in schools. You know, when you put it like that, it sounds really bad to me.
Sounds not okay.
Not okay. But apparently, you know, all the Republicans, they're down for that so long as they're grooming the proper religion. Joe from Madison, you will be first today. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Oh, there's so much here. Thanks so much. Two items that I wanted to talk about: the Norse religion and legacy status. I think it's often used that we speak of the Muslim religion when we speak of, oh, do you want your kids to get, you know, instruction in this? And would you feel comfortable about our tax dollars being used for that?
Yeah.
Switch to the idea of the Norse religion. I think this is really fascinating. There are a lot of veterans who are coming back from their military service, and they have embraced the Norse religion. It's a pagan religion, heathen, you might say, but it's one that they feel very strongly about, and they have worship services. They have asked for religious exemptions, for example, to grow a beard because that's part of the religion. So they come home and they want to, you know, educate their kids in the Norse religion. The Norse religion, which I think has about 21 gods altogether. So it doesn't come from that, you know, Judeo-Christian thing right at all. How do you feel about that, people? Okay, these vets who serve their country want to have tax dollars to pay for their kids to be instructed in the Norse religion in as part of their school day. Let's talk about that. And I wanted to pick up, Maggie, you had talked about the incredible advantage of legacy admissions to schools. And I just wanted to add this to the conversation, Maggie. I had known that this had been a big thing in the last year or so, and I assumed that most colleges had gotten rid of it.
Nope.
Not at all.
Nope.
Boy, was I wrong. There's a website called collegetransitions.com. You can look it up. And it, for example, here's a stat: the admission rate for people who have a legacy tie to Harvard is 5 times that of non-legacies. And understand, when they say legacy, a primary legacy is where one or both of the applicant's parents are alumni. Yes, but most schools also grant favor to secondary legacies.
Yes.
Who can claim a grandparent, a sibling, or a non-parental familial affiliation to the school.
Aunts, uncles, cousins. Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. And then there are 7 pages on this table that they've listed here. So you guys can take a look through it should you wish. And it is just, the table was updated in November of 2024. So it's really pretty current. But I mean, just to look at this, it's colleges that may consider it: Bates College, Baylor University, Bentley.
It's like,
University,
it's all of them. Here's the other thing, yes. Joe, that I think people, yes, don't realize is that oftentimes what happens is that the legacy admission preferences actually become smokescreen for the solicitation of donations from the highest net worth families. I just read either a study or an article about that, probably an article about a study that had looked at those relationships, because all admissions systems say, we keep our, they always call it university advancement. Yeah. They're like, that's a separate office.
Totally separate.
They never talk to admissions. Turns out, of course they do. So you layer on legacy privileges, plus if you're real, real rich, they'll shake you down, get a building, and then you'll get in magically.
When are rich white people going to catch a break in this country? Ollie from the Northwoods, you are next. Welcome, Ollie. What do you got for us?
Well, I have two comments. First, about public schools. Not all public schools are necessarily bad just because we've had one test result that's bad.
Sure.
A lot of great American people who have gone a long way in their education or in their fields have come from public schools. I think of the small town of Winter, Wisconsin, who does a great job with EIP teaching. One of their graduates was a NASA astronaut. So to say that public schools are bad is wrong.
And I think, Ollie, this gets to this generalized, like, boogeyman-ish. It's like, oh, public education, blah, and I have nothing specific to say about what I would do or how I would fix it. I am a very proud graduate of Rufus King High School for the College Mound on 19th and Olive on Milwaukee's near North Side. I will tell you that the highest density of like people who I knew were way smarter than me that I have ever experienced in my life was at Rufus King High School. There were more people in my senior class that I was like, I'm not even in the same right. range. One of them was just on Jeopardy a couple of years ago. I mean, like, really, really smart people and incredibly great teachers. I entered Marquette University on a full academic scholarship with 32 credits. 32 credits. I was technically a sophomore
when
I entered.
Wow.
Yes. And I was able to do so because of the education that MPS gave me at Rufus King, gave me, that every taxpayer in the city of Milwaukee gave me, granted me the opportunity to be educated in that way. Public schools that bring together kids from all over the place. That is its own special kind of education.
Right,
I was chose to go to King. My parents would have sent me anywhere. They would have scrabbled that money together. But I was like, I want to go to King because, one, I wanted to be with the best of the best. And I knew those kids were super talented and smart. And I was like, I know what kind of kid I'm going to meet at all these other schools. I know I'm going to meet lots of kids who I would have never otherwise met if I go to King. And that's why I went there. And it delivered. I was a transformed person, humbled in the narrowness of my experience as a person, humbled by the tiny angle of the world that my upbringing gave me. My horizons were expanded. I could see all sorts of possibilities for myself that I had never seen before because I was going to school with all of these different kids from all different kinds of backgrounds and being taught by an equally diverse group of teachers. And I think that deserves mention too. We do not have nearly enough diverse teachers in our public school ranks.
An education beyond the reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Yes.
Folks, it is overtime with Maggie Dawn. Maggie, it goes way too fast. Check her fine program out Monday through Friday right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will continue this conversation. Thank you, Maggie.
Falls Radio, WXCO. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Town halls have been a point of concentration. When Republicans have held them over the last few months, they're often met with boos and protesters. Savannah Tomei-Olson tells us why.
Representative Derek Van Orden of Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District claims these aren't his constituents. He says they're paid agitators. The leader of congressional campaigns at the Republican Party has told GOP legislators to stop hosting them in the first place. There's even a Wisconsin nonprofit stepping in to give people a platform to demand town halls from their lawmakers. Democrat Mark Pocan held a town hall in Monroe Wednesday night. He says it's the largest crowd he's ever had. Hundreds of people were there. They were asking about the decisions of the Trump administration and demanding Democrats do more. Pocan said being in your district in person is a basic part of the job.
Not even the 101 of your job, like the basic level of your job is going to Washington and representing the values of your constituents and then explaining Washington back home. Those are the two things that every member should have to do. And if you don't have town halls, you're kind of missing out on that big part of getting the input from your constituents, because I know a lot of people do telephone town halls. I did a few during COVID, but they're kind of BS.
Pocan says he's also been asked to speak at town halls in other states, but he's focusing on his district first. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei-Olson.
And Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Transportation have announced over $108 million in quarterly payments for road improvement projects across the state. The payments are meant to cover general transportation aids for local building and maintenance projects and connecting highway aids to reimburse local governments for state highway projects. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. After going into space thanks to Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin company, Gail King has received quite a bit of backlash from her friends and colleagues and various celebrities. According to Variety, King addressed criticism that the flight was expensive, a self-indulgent publicity stunt, and pointless by saying Bezos' company is just trying to figure out a way to harness waste here on our planet and put it into space to make Earth better. The jury is still out on how many bags of trash they took, but it doesn't matter because in a related story, no one believes her. In case you're wondering how much participants paid to go into space through Blue Origin, speculation is that there is a $150,000 payment for the reservation, but the actual trip might have cost millions per person, and maybe even more for Lauren Sanchez, who probably had to buy extra space for her lips. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, maybe a shower tonight, a low in the upper 30s. Mostly sunny and a high in the mid-50s for Saturday. Increasing clouds Sunday, showers developing, high temperatures in the mid-50s. Showers continue Sunday night and linger on into Monday morning. Currently 57 degrees.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org. Supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. Requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwabba, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll talk about the price of oil with Mr. Global and what that means for consumers. Hour number two, we'll talk about organ donation. I hope you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show.
Thanks for sticking around for this encore presentation of the Dom Salvia Show. Here we're highlighting more of Dom's discussion with Jess P.S. and some of our great callers on religion in schools and why it may or may not belong there.
I want to thank our most recent guest, The Overtime with Maggie Dawn from The Maggie Dawn Show. Check her out Monday through Friday right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. School choice, or as I like to call it, public tax dollars used to subsidize the grooming, religious grooming of our students. Did I say that? I don't know. Use of public tax dollars to groom our students. Yes, I'm saying it. Come on, you got to be kidding me. Did my Google search, finally found something. According to the AI overview of Google, in 2022-23, the state of Wisconsin spent about $443 million on its choice programs. $443 million. Maggie did give me a little homework on the way out the door, actually doing the homework for me. Thank you, Maggie. Catherine Eden writing this, and I want to share this. In 1964, the Mississippi legislature created a voucher program for students attending non-religious private schools. Immediately, this prompted the founding of three private segregation academies. Hoping to spawn more schools, the White Citizens Council, in its journal, The Citizen, offered step-by-step instructions, assuring anxious parents in 1964 that the state of Mississippi would pay up to $185 a year to each child in a non-sectarian school for tuition purposes. Now, the Citizen, again, this is the journal of the White Citizens Council, the White Citizens Council in 1964, their journal, they opined, quote, "Parents want their children to be raised and educated free from the tensions of racial conflict in the classroom, free from the frustrating drag of mass mediocrity, and free from the blight of self-styled progressive educators whose avowed aim is to turn young Americans from the established inheritance of their fathers to alien theories of collectivism and anti-white racism."
That come from the Moms for Liberty?
Sounds pretty close. No? The White Citizens Council. Pretty close.
I see.
So a justification for this rooted in racism. Imagine that. Mm-hmm. Something in this country done because of racism.
Shocking.
I thought we got over that when we elected the black president, right?
No.
We're good now?
That's what everyone kept saying.
And so here in the state of Wisconsin, we continue to use our public tax dollars to subsidize the religious indoctrination of our youth. And apparently the MAGAs and the Republicans, everybody's fine with that on that side, so long as that religious indoctrination is their chosen religion. And
right.
As some of those folks that don't want to address it, because you don't want to sound like a raging racist. No, I don't want to teach about Jesus in the school. I don't want to teach about Muhammad or Buddha or any of the other gods that have come before the Lord, the Norse gods. I love Joe's point. You know, the Norse gods. Some folks are actually apparently digging into it. You know,
there's been a small resurgence of some of these polytheistic religions that in some cases were sort of dormant
for centuries. Four? Yeah. Odin?
Why not?
Sure, why not? At the end of the day, why not? How about I just come up with some bunk, because this is all in my mind, made up garbage by the human race to subjugate other folks and to, you know, get into their pockets and make them do their will.
I love that you always take such a cheery perspective on
come
things.
On, man. what's the benefit? You know, I mean, this is a grift to get into... tap that vein. And for these folks and these religious organizations who already pay no property taxes and whose product is faith that they sell without any sales tax, you know, the tithing, I said, should be sales, have a sales tax on it. I think, come on, you know, I got all sorts of ways to try to tap into their vein. And if you can't afford it, well, come on, everyone else pays property taxes. Then I guess you just got to get your flock to throw a little more money in, right? What's wrong with that? So, yeah, I got a huge, huge problem with this. But to Joe's point, our caller Joe from the first segment, I believe, using the Norse religion as an example, and I think Cam texted on the text line, we say Islam a lot, and we use that religion because it triggers the righties, man. They're all mad about Sharia law. We can't, oh, Sharia law, can't have that. Canon law, totally fine. We're fine with that. So that's why I use that religion. I have nothing more against that religion than any other religion. I don't want that taught in the schools. I don't think it should be taught in the schools. Our declaration, our constitution does not allow for Jesus. You don't see Jesus anywhere.
No.
Nowhere.
Even find any gender to God. While there is reference to a creator, to God, there's no gender assigned. So there's none of the attributed male characteristics that tend to come along with, especially Christian religion.
Well, and the point of the creator, quote unquote, I mean, it's kind of all encompassing, right? I mean, let's just throw everything in there. You're creator.
Yeah.
You know, my creator was my mom and my dad. That's who created me. So, let's see. Mark, he jumps on the YouTubes. Dom doesn't know what the F he is talking about. Well, Mark, why don't you enlighten me? I pray, Mark, that you call me and tell me what I don't know what I'm talking about. 855-75-CIVIC. I guess I'm just, it irritates me to no degree. Because at least in my position, in the position of the founding documents of this country, which emphasizes the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for every person, everybody, no matter who, where, what, when. Religion, color, doesn't, none of that matters. And you wonder why this has worked so far to this degree. Because who as an individual cannot appreciate, oh my God, I'm gonna live in a society where other people respect my abilities to exist, to have my life and my liberty and pursue my happiness as I see fit. Certainly so long as that happiness doesn't involve, you know, stepping all over everybody else, right? There are limitations. Mm-hmm. And then we form this government, you know, to try to balance it all out to reflect the will of we the people. And when you throw in only this religion or only that religion, well, then it kind of goes against that. When you flirt with authoritarianism, you start throwing Nazi Sieg Heils around. You call your president king. You put memes out. Absolute monarchy. Those things are the antithesis of what we the people, what this country is about. So y'all should be offended at that. And the same thing with this school voucher. $500 million. To subsidize religious indoctrination with very little oversight, very little transparency, the ability for those schools to reject after cashing the checks for a while, the students. And then what happens at the end of the day? While those students end up either, what, in jail or in the public schools?
Mm-hmm.
855-752-4842. Don't hide behind the flag and call it patriotism. Don't hide behind your religious book and call yourself spiritual when you want to offer differing scenarios and education opportunities for people based on their religion and their color and the rest of it. That's not how it's supposed to be. The melting pot, people. Or you can just, you know, wish your way back to pray that you get transported back to 1964 and maybe you can join the White Citizens Council and, you know, start your own voucher school. 855-752-4842. Thank you, Maggie Dawn. Let's get back to the lines. Charles from Milwaukee, you are up. Welcome, Charles. What are your thoughts?
Hey, Dom. So earlier when Maggie was on, it's a 3-week process. So little Billy has been a troubled kid and his parents decide they want to send him to a voucher school. Voucher school sees that Billy's been having problems, but they decide to take him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So Billy is having issues with that first 3 weeks. After the school sends in their enrollment counts, the state gets the numbers, and when they start get ready to divvy out the money, Billy looks at the teacher sideways. Miss Jones goes to say, "I want Billy out of my class." Well, they kick Billy out of the voucher school. Billy goes back to MPS. And the voucher money stays at the choice at the charter private school. And so now Billy goes back to the public school system
right
without any money. Mm-hmm. And I know this because I spent 18 years in the MPS as a special education teacher.
God bless you, Charles.
Wow, Charles. Yeah, let me I mean, so this has been a long time coming, Charles, and I certainly appreciate your perspective, man. I assume based on this conversation, you're not down, you're not hip to the school choice slash, you know, whatever you want to call it. What do you think the resolution should be? What is the remedy to step away from this breach?
Well, the way it had been before it was changed, that if parents want to send their kids to a private school to learn about Christ, then they should pay for it.
As mine did.
We should not have to pay for it. And when they talk about indoctrination, that's it right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you hear people say, oh, well, we should teach the Bible in school. Well, what about the Muslim kids in school mm-hmm. or the Jewish kids mm-hmm. That may be at a school, you know, so they're supposed to just suck it up and this is the gospel. What you're telling me?
Literally the gospel. Charles, thank you for your perspective and your calls and for teaching all those years, man. That's a lot of work and a lot of giving, man. I appreciate that. And your perspective. 855-752-4842.
Can I add one quick thing on what Charles was saying? It's even a level more insidious than when a student goes to a voucher school and their voucher money goes to that school. And the voucher, after that period of time, says, you know what? We're not going to keep you. And they send them back to the public schools. Mm-hmm. Public schools get part of their funding based on the number of students that they have enrolled at the beginning of the year. So when they then are, I don't want to use the word forced, but forced to accept these students back into their pool, not only does the voucher school get the money, the public school doesn't get the money that they should have gotten for that child if they had been enrolled at the beginning of the year. So it is a double loss to the public school.
Yeah, call it 10 grand for a high school kid, right? So the private or the voucher school, the choice school, quote unquote, gets $10,000. After the time period is up, they throw them out.
Yep.
Well, that's a $20,000 swing, right?
Yeah.
The public school doesn't get the 10 grand. The private school gets the 10 grand. That's a $20,000 swing. And someone's still got to educate the kids.
Yep.
And we do have an election coming up, folks. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The State Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Jill Underley. That's the one you should all be voting for versus the other one who literally is a quote unquote consultant and casts checks and makes money off of the choice voucher / schools. I know there's different meanings for whatever, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter to me. Call it whatever you want. It's taking money out of the public schools and putting it into the pockets of the parents of kids who they determine want to get a private and religious education. That if they were so faithful to this process, they would go to pocket for like my parents did. They didn't get a tax break. They didn't get a voucher. They just made that decision. And that's a tough decision to make, man. I mean, damn, back then it was probably like, I didn't want to guess the number, but it was money. Like when I realized, oh my God, we're paying tuition for me to go to high school. That seems outrageous. I should go to college for that kind of money. But they made that determination and look how it worked out.
The education itself stuck, the God, not so much.
Yeah. Education never did nothing for me though. And books, they was the worst.
Uh-huh.
855-752-4842. That election's coming up, what, April 1st?
April 1st.
So if you have concerns about this, and it's not like, you know, that the Department of Public Instruction, that Jill Underley could, you know, wave a magic wand and make this go away. I think that's more of a legislative, Tony Evers, could you veto it? You know, talk about what kind of reaction should we have? And I don't want to see, like, all these kids and parents that are relying on this thing to have it pulled out from underneath them. I'm not Doge over here, right? But a winding down? You know, that'd be appropriate.
Or an income cap. That you don't get a voucher if you're making six figures.
Yeah, still, the religion still bothers me, man. We don't want religion. I don't want religion taught in public schools. Keep that to yourself.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, Wausau's home for Up North News Radio.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Did you know VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served?
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
More than 600 international students and recent grads have had their visas revoked. Here's people that are here 100% legally. We've seen the ICE checklist. Do you wear a Chicago Bulls hoodie? Do you have a tattoo? Check, check, gone. Again, this is about due process and following the Constitution. And if we don't have that, then none of us are safe.
The Todd Albaugh Show, moving soon to its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and on the app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
It's time for Wausau West Warrior High School Sports on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.FM. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Wausau West Sports on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Red Robin Restaurants, Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, and Coast to Coast Marketing. It's now time for Wausau West Sports on your home for the Warriors, 98.9 WXCO.
Looking for the best in website design and digital marketing? Look no further than Coast to Coast Marketing, Central Wisconsin's number one choice. We're not just about building great websites, we're about building our community too. That's why for every website you purchase, we'll donate 10% of the sale to the school of your choice. Imagine growing your business while giving back to local schools. It's a win-win. Visit c2cmarketing.com or call 715-379-7460 today and make a difference with your business and your community.
And Chad Holmes back again here from Wausau West. We had a little issue with the microphone just a few moments ago, but seems as though everything is back to where it should be as we are getting set for our Wausau West Warrior High School Baseball today, taking on the Wittenberg-Burnawood Chargers. From Wausau West High School, I'm Chad Holmes. Well, the Wausau West Warriors got on the winning track for the first time this season on Tuesday, knocking off Tomahawk in a non-conference game 17-0 that had come after the Warriors had lost twice last Friday to Oshkosh North and then fell to Menominee last Saturday. In those three games, the Warriors scored a grand total of just three runs, But Wausau West was able to get those bats going Tuesday. But it will be a lot tougher here today against Wittenberg-Brenwood. Whitburn is a team that is 5-1 overall, and they are 3-0 in the CWC East. In fact, they are tied for first place with Amherst in the CWC East early on in the season. Just yesterday, they faced another conference team that was undefeated at the time, 2-0, Iola Scandinavia. And Wittenberg-Brenwood went to Iola Scandinavia and won by a score of 4-1. So 5-1 overall for Whitburn, 3-0 in the CWC East. Warriors 1-3 overall, and they have yet to play a game in the Wisconsin Valley Conference. All the other teams in the WVC, all six of those squads, played a pair of conference games this week. But the Warriors, they got their conference bye very, very early this season. They will open up play in the Valley with games on Tuesday and Thursday next week against the Merrill Blue Jays. But busy couple of days here. Tonight, it's Wittenberg-Brenwood, and then tomorrow, starting at 10 a.m., a doubleheader against Eau Claire North. We're going to take a quick timeout and come right back and have the starting lineups and the first pitch coming up next. This is Warrior Baseball on 98.9 WXCO.
Not too early to start thinking about. Once the season starts, you want to be ready. So, what's your boat? A boat for fishing, boat for skiing, a pontoon boat for partying? Or are you thinking personal watercraft? Whatever floats fun for you, remember CCU. That's Clover Belt Credit Union, the leader in financing fun. Great rates, great service, great fun. Local lenders lending local money. Quick and easy loan approval. It's the way financing should be. Stop in and visit with a CCU lender even before you hit the marina. CCU can set you up with a great rate financing approval, so when you find your boat, you're ready to float. The season's just too short not to enjoy every moment you can on the water. Check it out and stop in. Call or apply online at ccuwausau.com. Whatever floats fun for you, remember CCU. That's Clover Belt Credit Union. We finance fun.
For more than 60 years, Sun Printing has been Central Wisconsin's commercial printer of choice due to their commitment to quality, creative solutions, and dedicated service. Sun Printing's team offers you a wide spectrum of services, whether you need vehicle graphics, offset, digital, large format, graphic design, or mailing. They print everything under the sun. No project is too big or too small, so give Sun Printing a call at 845-4911 or visit them online at sunprinting.com.
And Chad Holmes back again from Wausau West High School as we are set for baseball, the Wausau West Warriors and the Wittenberg-Brenwood Chargers. Let's take a look at the starting lineups for today's game. First of all, for Wittenberg-Brenwood, leading things off and playing shortstop is Xander Bark. Owen Dickman will play center field, bat second. Connor Meverden is at third base, batting third. Oliver Fraza is the starting pitcher, batting cleanup. Carson Meverden is the catcher, batting fifth. Milo Salveson will be the designated hitter, batting sixth. Hudson Miller in left field bats seventh. Christopher Sipple is at first base, batting eighth. And Easton Davis is the right fielder, batting ninth. For Wausau West, leading things off and playing shortstop is Tony Eiffeldano. Ryder Schindler is in left field, batting second. Batting third and starting at third base is Joe Gravine. Ty Teske is at first base, batting fourth. Marshall Helke is the starting pitcher, batting fifth. Miles Wallvogel in center field, bat sixth. Rowan Robbins is the catcher, batting seventh. Miles Haubert is at second base, batting eighth. And Alex Kappitz in right field, batting ninth. Coach of the Wittenberg-Brenwood Chargers is Brian Sipple. And the coach of the Wausau West Warriors is John Albee. Glad you could be with us on this Good Friday. It's chilly. It's overcast. The lights are on, but it is dry. And that's the big thing. And we'll have high school baseball. And again, tomorrow, when the Warriors take on Eau Claire North in that doubleheader, we'll have both those games live right here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, starting bright and early with the pregame show at 9:50 a.m. tomorrow, and the first pitch set for 10 a.m. So a twin bill Wausau West and Eau Claire North tomorrow, right here on 98.9 WXCO and online. Looking at the Wausau West defense, outfield of Ryder Schindler in left field, Miles Wahlvogel in center, Alex Kapitz is in right. Joel Gravine is the third baseman, Tony Eiffeldano is at shortstop, Miles Haubert is at second base, Ty Teske at first, Rowan Robbins is the catcher, and Marshall Helke is the pitcher. There's the throw from Rowan Robbins to second base, heading to the plate. For Wittenberg Bernewood will be Xander Barkin will get underway. Warriors wearing the white jerseys, white pants, dark blue pinstripes, dark blue numerals outlined in gold. Wittenberg Bernewood black jerseys, green numerals outlined in yellow, and white pants. So Marshall Helke sets at the chest, out of the stretch. Here's the first pitch of the game, and there's a fly ball right field side. Going over is Alex Kapitz. He is under it, and he'll make the grab. One pitch and one out in the top of the first inning.
That brings up the center fielder, number 11, Owen Dickman.
Up next for the Chargers is their center fielder, Owen Dickman. Wittenberg Bernewood played yesterday, as I said. They were on the road at Ola Scandinavia, winning by a score of 4-1. Earlier this week, they also had a conference game on Monday, defeated Bondewell 3-1. Pitching has been very good for Whitburn so far this year. Pitch is rising fastball up and out of the zone. Ball one. Only loss for Wittenberg Bernewood came to an always good Pacelli team on the road at Bucco Park a week ago yesterday, 2-1. Here's the 1-0 pitch. There's a chopper third base side. Backhanded attempt by Gravine, could not handle it. Goes into left field for a base hit. Trying to backhand it near the line.